Welcome to Biennale to go, the podcast for the Biennale für aktuelle Fotografie 2022 in Mannheim, Ludwigshafen and Heidelberg. The individual episodes of this podcast are intended to offer the visitors the opportunity to engage with a range of works from the Biennale on their way between the six exhibition venues. This is because the length of the individual episodes depends on how one moves from one exhibition to the next, on foot, by bicycle, by public transport or by car. Both the artist and the curator will have their say. Have fun with it.
Hello everyone. Welcome to Biennale to go, a podcast format for the Biennale für aktuelle Fotografie 2022 here in Ludwigshafen right now. And I'm walking with Iris Sicking to our next exhibition. It's at Port 25 and it's called Collective Minds. And first of all, I like to quote a part of the concept, and let me quote that. In our network society, we use images, share them, communicate them to socialize and feel connected to others. Photographing and filming oneself is a powerful tool for expressing one's identity and searching for like-minded people online. Social media act as platforms where lifestyles that deviate from mainstream are presented and find support. Hello, Iris.
Hi.
First of all, we just started at Kunstverein Ludwigshafen. Mm-hmm. And could you tell us something about the exhibition we saw right now?
Yes, I can. The exhibition title is Bodies in Emotion. And I gave that title for two different reasons. And I think that I can explain it the best by project by Philippe Romero Beltran. And he's asking the question, who carries me? So, and that's not only about the body, who's carrying me as a person if I'm in trouble, but also who carries my ideas and who gives me role models, or who helps me to be who I am, actually.
Ah, okay. So what do we see in this exhibition? What have we just seen?
Well, if you come in, there is a huge image of the face of a young boy, and he's carried between two hands. And first, you think, "Oh, what's going on here?" And then you turn around the corner and you see another image where he's actually carried the same boys, the same boy, by his friends. And then you find out that these are young migrants, and they perform actually what they have experienced during their very long trip from Northern Africa to Spain, where they are currently as young migrants seeking refugee.
Okay, so there's this double title, Emotions.
Yes.
And there's also one work from Mikhail Ivanovsky.
Yeah.
Who said in another episode recorded that he feels like a real body in motion. Do you know what he means?
Well, I can only guess what he means because I didn't hear the episode yet. I think that has to do with his status of also being a migrant, and you have to position your body again in a new world where you choose or where you can live after fleeing your country or migrating from your country or by choice. And then he went back and he made a really long walk, and his body was in motion all the time. He had lots of time to think about the question that he has, and the main question was, what is my home actually? And he discussed that with the people that he encountered, and it was really a bodily experience for him.
Okay, so and the exhibition we're going right now is called Collective Minds. And could you tell us something general about the exhibition, and what was your idea behind this exhibition?
I think the idea behind this exhibition was really about the collective, about different minds, in the sense different, being in different atmospheres, being in different locations around the world, and see how they can act together. And that is, for example, in the work of Anu Kruithof, which is an 8-screen installation about dance. And dance is, of course, as we all know, kind of a universal language.
Absolutely, yeah.
And she has gathered with 50 researchers very different clips of people dancing via YouTube. And she gathered them together, collected them, and made this wonderful installation that is really inspiring. I mean, if you step in, you want to dance, and that is a kind of collective act.
Okay, so the installation works with photography, or is it...
Videos, all video.
It's all video?
Yeah, it's only video, yes.
So small screens where we can see people dancing?
Huge screens.
Huge
space.
Oh, huge space, huge
yes.
screens, okay.
Yes.
Okay, so in this exhibition, there is this idea of something connecting through photography, or mm-hmm. how people can connect.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that photography is a medium to connect people, and how does that work?
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, not just maybe an image, you and me, but if you use the image in a certain context, I don't know if I have an exact example from the artist I've selected now, but I can give an example of maybe archival image of images from your private life or your family life. If you share those that with others, you illustrate something, and you can maybe recognize something in an image that you have experienced yourself. So in that sense, I think photography in general then,
yeah.
I mean, because that's your question, can connect two minds, let's
okay,
say.
Okay, so it's not... I thought when I read the concept of this
yeah.
exhibition, I thought that parts of this exhibition also use social media as something to connect people,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
as social media always works with pictures, most of
mm-hmm.
it, not always, most of it. The work of... I hope I say right... Kelebolji Tladi, maybe Libo,
yeah.
we call her Libo right now.
Libo, yes.
Libo is maybe an example for how this can work with the medium of photography,
yeah.
because
for
she
sure.
Did maybe collages.
Yeah, collages, yes.
And where did she found these pictures?
The pictures that she's using in the collage are actually pictures she has made herself during her life, let's say.
Okay.
It's pictures that she made as a professional. Sometimes it's just simple pictures that you just take and indeed share on social media. Pictures of her private life. And she sorted them together and gathered them together to actually appropriate for iconic poses of an athlete, Semenya,
mm-hmm.
Caster Semenya, an athlete from South Africa, who was banned in the past from different competitions because
yeah.
She was taking part as an athlete in female competitions, but she was supposed to have too high testosterone levels.
Yeah.
So she was banned for that reason. So her work is about gender identity. So who are you on this whole range of
yeah.
being female, man, and everything that's in between. And Label herself and her community has also been and is still struggling, of course, with this identities and with the gender identities. So for her, the fact that it happened with Caster Semenya was of course very sad and shocking, but it also brought the whole discussion about gender to the kitchen table.
Yeah, okay.
She was then able to talk about it more easily with parents, with friends, with family. So in that sense, yeah, pictures do make at first then of course the pose and all the pictures of Semenya herself, and then later on she started to make the collages.
So she uses this. I think Caster Semenya was a middle distance runner.
Yes.
And when she won, there were these winning
yeah.
poses.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
she
like
uses
this,
the form
like...
of these poses
yes. Yes.
to fill with her own identity.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that leads to another question I had mm-hmm. when I thought about mm-hmm. this exhibition. There's how can artists work to create identity? How do they use identity? And how can we experience what they think?
Interesting question. Not an easy one, Alex.
I'm sorry for that.
I think by the most simple answer is actually by just showing another
yeah.
kind of identity that we're not confronted with on a daily basis. Because actually, you know, if you look around, there's advertisement, there's TV. And I mean, it is changing and it depends on where you are, of course. But usually you see middle-class family, men, women, children, or a man and a woman and children. And luckily there's more variety there. So as a photographer, when you bring to a certain stage, it could be a museum, or it could be a community house or a school, yes, other, a more diverse picture of people living around you, then yeah, that can help a little bit, but you know, because it, you make something visible.
Yeah, that's the main point when I think about photography.
Yeah,
what can we make visible to others, to the visitors?
Yeah.
So when we go to this exhibition right now, do you think, what's the point we can feel when we go into? Maybe most of the things we see, we're going to see, are not things that document something. It's more about a feeling.
Yeah,
and about emotions.
Yeah.
So what are these emotions we are going to?
I feel that we are going in Port 25 to a kind of very vivid, vibrant, energetic space built up by these three different projects. There are only three projects in Port 25, from Lebo, from Anna Ehrenstein and Anouk, the dance installation that I just described. And I hope that apart from, well, that you're just looking at pictures, that you also feel something because of the way they are installed and the different textures and material that Anna is using. The fact that you see with Lebo, you see these poses, you know, of a winner. But then you have to go closer and see all the details. With Anouk, of course, you know, once you step in, you just want to dance.
Hopefully, maybe we can dance when we're there.
We are going to do that, Alex, for sure.
No, now it's on tape.
Yes.
We're going to dance.
So in that sense, it's indeed not only documenting and not also because I think that many of the things I'm showing now, if I discuss them with people or if I tell people about it, I'm also thinking, oh, that sounds all so depressing. So is there a bit of light at the end of the tunnel? Is there a positive note? And then I think that is really an exhibition that has this feeling of, okay, if we come together, if we join, if we keep on talking, dance together, do things together, collaborate, also in an offline environment, not only online. And that's also what Anna Ehrenstein is discussing. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. Anna Ehrenstein, I think it's not only her own body of work she's showing. She collaborated with other artists, I think from
Senegal.
Senegal.
Well, they are based in Senegal, in Dakar, Senegal.
And what about the authorship? It's Anna Ehrenstein, but what about these other artists?
It's very interesting because I think you can ask the question now that you bring it up for all three artists. But let's start with Anna. It was her plan from the beginning to not only make this work on her own, but really collaborate with fashion designers and other makers of creative content, let's say in Senegal, which is quite of a hub if it comes to the creative and fashion industry in Africa. So they're not from Senegal, they're from other countries in Africa, but came there. And so apart from only, I mean, they made the images together, they made the interviews together, you know, it's not only her in a leading role, but in the end, she is the one that is deciding what is in the project.
So
she has the authorship still, but she also gives them the platform. The names are mentioned. For example, when the exhibition was in CO Berlin, she also had products that they had made on sale. So, yeah, she tries to do more than only take an image and leave again.
Okay, so the authorship is not that important anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's more about, okay, we do something together.
Yes.
And you can just feel it, and we don't care about who's the author in the end, because it's not about the author.
Yeah.
It's what you see.
Yeah, but I also think that's something of today, you know, it's much more about that only one leader. Well, we have a big exception today, of course, with Putin, but there's also a new trend, you know, to work more collectively and to decide about things more in a collective than just follow one person.
And your first response to my question was that you said there are other points in this exhibition that we can talk about when it comes to authorship. Yeah. What did you mean?
Well, I think with Lebos, the images that she uses of the poses of Castra Semenya are not hers. So she has appropriated those images because they come from news media.
Okay.
But we don't know the names of the photographers. But she really appropriated those images because she finds them important to give them another content or another layer, an extra layer.
But did she use the photographs or is it just the form of the body she uses in this pose?
I think it's more that,
So she takes just a form, an idea of a form of of a pose?
Yeah, I mean, you don't see anything original, let's say, from that original image. Only the...
Okay,
The contour. But then in Anouk's exhibition, of course, Anouk didn't make any content. All the content is made by people like you and me and everywhere in the world that decided to make a little film clip, video clip of someone dancing in their presence.
That
could be at a wedding, that could be on another kind of party, that could be just someone in the street here that starts to dance. So that's all different authors.
Okay, first I thought she made the videos.
No.
She
it's
collects the videos. Uh-huh. And edits.
Yeah. It's 800 hours of material that she has. And the other interesting thing, there are more layers to it, is that she did collect some videos because, it started with her, you know, collecting dance videos. And then she asked 50 people from all over the world to research more in deep to these kind of clips. And that's why in the end she ended up with having almost a kind of inventory, a catalogue of 1,000 different dance styles. And she has identified those styles. They're in a book. You can see them. You can also see them on her website, dedicated website of the Universal Tongue. But she did all that with the help of the researchers, with people that have studied anthropology, that know about these things, you know, with all kind of people. But in the end, she brought it together. She decided how to make the video installation, let's say, and how to make the book. So in that sense, she's more... I mean, you know, you can... If you compare it to filmmaking, she's the director.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people needed behind the scene, let's say.
So she had a lot of camera people.
Yes,
doing the camera work for her.
In a sense, yes.
So, and
then, she didn't ask them. The clips were just there, but they had to be found.
Yeah, it's simple... how can we say? Is it close to appropriation art?
I find it... I mean, I just used it for... Because I think it fits quite well with Lebo. But, you know, if you put something on the internet, you can use it as long as you not violate it. You know, there's this rule of fair use.
Is it like that?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Yeah, that's the whole thing with the internet. If you put something on it...
Seriously, I never thought that I can use anything I found.
You can, yes.
Oh,
yes,
funny. Maybe I'm going to be an artist.
Well, there are many artists that already do that. So,
but there are
That is as long as it's fair use.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, you're not...
Of course.
Yeah.
So let me come back again to the idea of identity.
Mm-hmm.
And what I thought is that sometimes artists who deal with the topic of identity and the identity of others still... They target also themselves when they do this work. You know what I mean?
Yeah, can be. Yeah, some cases, yes.
And,
yes.
Do you think that there are parts in this exhibition where this is also like that?
Lebo.
Yeah, of course.
Sure, for Lebo. I mean, she's also in the picture. There's a self-portrait of her in one of the poses.
Ah, okay, you can find...
Because she told me that I felt that I had to be in there myself because I'm exposing other people via my pictures. And I'm one of them. I'm part of the community. And, you know, I should be there myself as well, visible. But that's not always the case. But
Not always. That was just one thing that came in my mind when I thought about these works, that they're also addressing themselves. they're also addressing like, okay, that's the work I want to see. So let me do it myself.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Yeah.
And as there is also an idea of stereotypes and how to present stereotypes or work with stereotypes. Why is it so, for me, it's a very simple question with a difficult answer. Sorry. Why can it be so difficult to work with stereotypes when using photography? Because most of the time, for me, when you're working with stereotypes, you have to try not just to point at stereotypes, like this is it, this is it. So it has to be a narrative or something else that maybe describes the surrounding or whatever.
Yeah, but I found a hard question because, I mean, it's easy to create stereotypes, I think, because that's what we know. And artists try to create another kind of image that goes away from the stereotype to give another representation of someone.
So maybe it's colliding. The stereotypes that are always there, and the stereotypes artists are trying to create and to maybe to inform that there is
there's something else,
something
to make
else.
Something visible,
Okay.
Yeah.
And one big point, colliding. Both the works of Libo and the work of Anna are very colorful, let me say that.
Yes.
They're very colorful. Mm-hmm. And there are only three works in this exhibition. There's Libo, Anna.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So there are only three works. Mm-hmm. How did you manage that they don't collide visually?
giving them enough space. And that is then not only in a literal sense like meters, but also give them space to breath, to that we can be there and spend time with, for example, Libo's portraits. Although we see somewhere in the corner of our eye already, we see the colorful work of Anna Ehrenstein. We hear the music already of Anouk. But I think, I hope, I gave Libo's portraits enough space so that you can, with your body, spend time with them. And then I think it's also interesting, these projects together, because I also think that they make each other better, let's say, that it's kind of sum of 1 + 1 + 1 is
3.
Well, yeah, well, hopefully 4.
ten. Let's say 10.
Something like that, yeah.
Okay, and did you, was it your decision that this exhibition is going to be Port 25?
Yes.
So why did you make this decision?
Yeah, that's a long process, complicated process, which is informed. Which is informed by many different things, but also very practical things. But I think the first thing is that I'm gathering my selection together, I'm building it up, you know, during a year, during 1.5 years. I'm trying to define the different exhibitions, that process goes in parallel. And then it is mostly, sounds a bit like, it's mostly on my intuition that I suddenly think, okay, they should be together. And then, of course, I have to execute it and really think about it and make the arguments. But then still, you know, sometimes I'm just so convinced that things will work together that I'm just like, here it is.
Okay. So
and you may decide if it works or not.
Okay,
so up to you.
so you went to Port 25 before, and then you got the feeling, oh, this should work?
Yes, well, I knew the space beforehand, before I started the job, let's say. I wanted to have enough space for Anouk, for Anouk's installation, because that really profits from a big space. And then, then you start to build. I mean, it's never a decision overnight.
No, of course it's not.
No, so that's, you know, there are so many things involved in that decision. Too many details, I guess. But I think the main thing goes back to my intuition. Hey, that I suddenly think this is actually really interesting to have these three female artists together.
Okay.
And hopefully they well, they don't collide, but they tell us something more also okay, together.
We are very close to 425 right now.
Yes.
Maybe you can describe in general what we're going to see, especially about Anna's work, because there are collages and there is video, but what about Anna's work? What do we see? How do we start in this exhibition?
Yeah. Well, what I like so much about Port 25 is that it's a building that is in a kind of rough area. So it's already, I mean, for me, it starts already at the outside. It's a former industry place that is now, converted into, let's say, a modern living area. And then it's a huge concrete building. It used to be a warehouse. So it has this wonderful architecture that after you've bought your ticket, blah, blah, the bookshop, you enter those huge stairs, you go up, and then the first thing you see when you're up on the stairs is the first pose of Castra Semenya, and she's like standing like this, like a pose of victory. And then if you walk closer, you will see the small pictures in it. And then you turn around, you see the other portraits of that Lebo made, and then you already hear the sound of Anouk's exhibition or of Anouk's installation, but that's hidden behind big walls. So then there in between, let's say, you can experience the work of Anna Ehrenstein, and that is, like you say, indeed a mixture of huge structures that look like how do you say, racks for clothes in a shop. But it's quite rough. And then it's like plastic kind of material with images on it. Portraits of different people. But if you go there closer, you see little details like phones, bitcoins, servers, shoes. Everything seems to be floating around in a certain kind of space, in a certain kind of virtual reality. Then there are some huge wallpapers, which again, some portraits and collage of portraits, but also quotes of the people that she has collaborated with. There's a beautiful corner where you can read some of the books that has inspired her on the project.
Ah, so there are also books.
Yes, and that is there's a corner that is wrapped in gold. So that gives this shiny, there's even more shine, shiny and glamorous.
Gold is a big topic.
Of course. And that also connects to the contested landscapes exhibition in the Kunsthalle Mannheim. So you can just freely wander around there, and then you find your way through the opening of the walls, the open corridor, to the installation of Anouk.
Okay, so when you say you start with Castra Semenya, it sounds like that you thought that maybe Castra Semenya and the work of her, of
Lebo
is, is something common to say about this exhibition, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That there's a starting point like, hey, this is what it's about. Do you think that can be the point?
Yeah, well, I don't tend to say that, but maybe I will think about it and let you know tomorrow.
Okay, give me a phone call.
I will. I think for me it was more important to have her immediately at the beginning because it's the most calm work, you know, and then if you would have it. And the nice thing is also that you make a kind of round and then you also end with her work. So you also come back to it.
Okay.
And people also, like me, you know, have the, you know, you think, oh, what's here? Okay, you go to the text, you make it, da-da-da-da. And then you have kind of passed too quickly the first one. So I like it that you have to go back to the same entrance and you pass again the work of Lebo.
So in this exhibition, with only three artists, I'm very excited to see it right now, I can say.
Yeah.
Because especially I didn't hear about the work from Anouk before.
Yeah.
I know who she is and what she does, but I didn't found this work before.
Okay. Yeah. It's a work of like 4 years old, but suddenly it's presented everywhere at the same time.
Yeah. But I researched her and Okay, there. If you go on her website, yeah. there are. You feel like there's a millions of
yeah,
bodies
yeah.
of work.
It is. Yeah, and it's all very different.
Yeah, and it's yeah. all very different.
Yes,
that's it.
For sure.
And,
yeah.
So I was a bit surprised that you said that it's just an edit from footage she found.
Yeah.
And how do you think this connects to the work of Anna, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
In maybe in a point of. There's video, found footage,
uh-huh.
and then about dancing and moving,
mm-hmm.
and then you got Anna
mm-hmm.
with a collective, working
well,
with a collective.
I think it's, well, the simple answer is there's a lot of collective dancing, let's say.
Okay.
I mean, dancing is actually something what you do in a group, you know. That's way too easy, I know. It is all happening in a kind of virtual sphere. I mean, these people dancing, I mean, they have done it somewhere and then they were recorded. And then, you know, it gets a kind of... it gets this presentation then online. I mean, we know from social media that how often do we get... Maybe you don't, but I get dance clips. And then, oh, this is so nice to see, you know.
I saw a lot of dance clips in
yeah.
my life.
Yeah.
Believe
so
me.
We share those, you know, because it makes us feel happy. It makes us feel energetic. So I like it that someone finally, there was someone like Anouk who thought, okay, I'm going actually to gather those and also to make it a mark in that's what we see today. If it goes, if it is about dancing, which is still, you know, there's so many different forms, traditional forms, but there are also animated dance clips, computer generated dancers.
Computer-generated dances?
Yes, yes.
How does that work?
Well, you will see in a minute.
Okay. Do you know how she managed to
well, they found them on the internet, on this huge World Wide Web.
Okay, and all she does, collecting,
yeah.
presenting?
Well, all she does, she made an edit.
Okay.
She made 8 different screens. Some of the screens are only dedicated to people dancing on their own. Some of the screens are dedicated to people dancing together. Some of the screens are dedicated to people dancing in a mass of people, like really many.
Yeah.
And then some the screens are about dancing in a group. So she made a lot of decisions, and she also made just one soundtrack that is going over the rest.
Okay. That's...
And sometimes it's all very synchronized. And then it goes its own way, and then it comes back to... So also the 8 screens come together
so,
at certain points.
So also these screens are a collective in the end. Because,
yes, yes.
There's this one music piece
yeah.
for everyone. So
yeah.
everyone's dancing to the same music.
Yes. Yeah.
Ah, okay, and we can also dance to this music.
Yes, yes.
Oh, maybe we can film that and
okay.
put us in this exhibition.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, green lights. Let me ask you one question about the
yes.
title.
Oh, the title.
The title. Collective Minds.
Ah, Collective Minds,
it's,
yes.
Okay, we talked a lot about the idea of collectives.
Uh-huh.
But what about minds?
Well, minds is for me... the way we think, what is happening here, and the way we... I mean, you can feel connected in a bodily experience, but also in what you think and how you think and what your attitude is, that all goes together. So it's
yeah.
it's maybe hard to explain that for me in English because I have the Dutch translation. It's the same spirits. It could
yeah.
have also
okay.
been collective spirits, maybe. Maybe then I give the best explanation.
You can talk about collective spirits.
Okay, collective spirits, that's what it is.
Okay, so because in this exhibition, it's social media, internet, collectives, identity, stereotypes, as there's a lot of topics
uh-huh.
in an exhibition with just
yeah.
3 bodies of work.
Yeah, but that's because the projects are so layered. I mean, that's amazing. And that's also another reason that I think you have enough... you get enough if you only see these 3 projects in this huge space.
And do you think that maybe these three artists, in which ways do they have a collective mind? Do you think they have one?
I think so. I think they are all the same spirits, let's say, of move on together and think about each other, take care of each other, and also make way for, go beyond the stereotypes and open up other people that have a different gender that we don't see that often, and that's not represented in mass media, let's say. I think they make a plea for that.
Okay, so yeah. you think that many of the artists in this, at this Biennale, mm-hmm. are just they just want to show something that mm-hmm. Gets stuck in your mind to keep you thinking about
yes.
maybe society or something
yeah.
else.
Yeah, and hopefully that leads to certain acts, because I don't believe that an exhibition is immediately doing something, but yeah, if you see something in someone's yeah. mind, let's say, I mean, it can also be via reading a novel or seeing a film or a yeah. television series or reading a newspaper, and I hope that an exhibition can also give you something that later on you think about, you know, and that it connects with something else, you know, that you encounter or that you experience in your life. And that you then maybe act or become an activist.
Okay, and I can see Port 25 right now.
Yes, and almost there.
No, almost there, and I hope we yeah. can have a dance.
Yes, me too.
And talk on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And last question for this day.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I thought we were done.
It was not the last question for this day. It was the last question for the next 10 minutes.
Okay.
How excited have you been when you discovered one of these works?
One of these three works. How excited I have been?
Because I thought that when I would have to curate an exhibition.
A show, yeah.
Perfectly. Always on time. When I should curate one of these exhibitions,
yeah. Yeah.
I thought that, okay, where do I get all these bodies of work from?
Uh-huh.
Where do I can't keep everything in mind.
No.
So has there been one body of work that you just discovered while working?
Yes, I discovered the work of Lebo via John Fleetwood. He's the founder of Photo, a workshop in South Africa, and he knew the work of Lebo. So I told him a little bit about the team, and then he was like, well, maybe you should have a look at her work. And then I was like, wow, this is really interesting.
That's what I meant.
And the work of Anouk, I already knew for some time, and I was daring to show it somewhere.
Now here it fits. So that was one of the more exciting parts. Just, discovering something that fits in your idea.
Yeah, yeah, and that makes the idea. I mean, it's also finding artists and then create your team or make it more in detail. Or, you know, it's not just having a team and then fill it in. It's having a team on one side and having a list of artists' works, actually, on the other side. And then see, okay,
and now
it's a kind of very complicated process.
We try to discover what excited you.
Yes.
Maybe.
Welcome.
And then we have a dance.
Welcome to Port 25.
Welcome to. Hopefully it's open. Ah, it's open.
It's open.
Nice.
Yes.